'em pop. Big gun Brian Petrie giving out the lot. One is mortal, you know it won't miss.
Gonna
take a shot, dog lock. That's the underdog. Yeah, they in the hunt. Send them home, that's KO or submission. Yeah, somebody done. Slime ball, yeah, that's the parlay. We gon' make it known. Pick 'em pop from MMA takes. Yeah, let's get it gone.
What's up with the what's up, babe? Huh? What about it? What about it? What about it? What about it? What's going on? Your boy's high energy right now. This is coming late in the week. Late in the week. I had to get a new camera. If you can tell, it's a little off center. It's super tight on my fucking fat head. We're a little closer. Got to figure all that out. But my camera crapped out last week. If you heard the pod, you heard me complain about it. Had to replace it. Didn't come today. I'm on vacation this week at work, right? I always get my, I owe everything, if I have control over it, anything gets shipped to me, shipped UPS. That's where I work. And I pick it up at work, right? All the time, right? Usually the guy, when I feel like when I don't get something, right? Or what? I haven't had a package delivered to me in forever, but I feel like noon, the guy's here most of the time. Motherfucker didn't show up till 5:45. Whew, must have been his end of his route, last stop, my house. So I got a new camera and I'm going to work on it. We're going to look better. We're going to look a little whatever, because the other one was, I was very excited. It was shit. Anyway, waited for that. And then I've been, you know, I'm like a very, like I get into like grooves and I'm very like, you know, I'm on vacation from work this week. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just off, paid all week off. You know, I get 5 a year, paid week off. And I'm just spending it with my kids, man. I always hang out with my kids. I always spend time with my kids. But like usually it's like I'm in such a routine. It's like work. Got to sleep enough. Got to do this. Got to study enough. Got to do, you know what I mean? I always have these little things. And obviously I carve out time for the kids. But now it's like I'm full of energy. I'm sleeping in, you know. And this unfortunately got pushed because of the tech issues. But then, you know, I just went and bought sidewalk chalk with the girls. We're out there doing sidewalk chalk. Teaching Winnie to ride a bike. We've been selling her chocolates. Winnie's been killing it. She's the wolf of fucking Allenwood, my street. Wolf of Allenwood Street. It's actually court, whatever. Wolf of the Allenwood Court. Doesn't really have the same catch as Wolf of Wall Street, but, you know, killing it. Went over to my parents yesterday and went over in their neighborhood. Sold out before we even got halfway up the street. People over all there dope. See, when I grew up on my street, I got very lucky because everyone on my street was about my age. Little older, a little younger, whatever, but there's a bunch of kids. They're all grown up now, and their parents have stuck there. So a little cute girl walking around saying candy bars, they haven't had that in a while. So they're like, sign me up. They're like, people didn't just buy one. They bought 5. They bought 10. My parents bought, you know what I mean? So that was really cool to see because that's very fun, and she's killing it. Got the third box today. Didn't go out and sell today. We've been a little busy doing just everything. I was trying to clean up the garage, trying to do a lot of things. But yeah, so I'm just a little delayed. And then the tech stuff, and I rushed to set it up. It doesn't look exactly how I want it. But you know what? Fuck it, right? And then this is, you're going to be hearing the audio first because then I got to edit it, whatever. But we got picks to make, boys. We got motherfucking picks to make. We got a great main event. Anakin Florian Pod. I already did a few of these picks. So go there if you want. But we got a nice little card. I told you, March is stacked, man. Just fucking stacked. And we got a nice little card here. So first fight of the night. I don't know if this will be first fight of the night. It just got added. Carlson Harris, -305 versus Jarrett Gooden, the night train. That's Timbo's dude. +240. Gooden taking us on short notice. 4-1 since he left the UFC. A little surprising he took this on short notice. It's at 170. Carlson Harris was training for Abubakar Nurmagomedov. Then answers Jarrett Gooden, who seems like a pretty good-sized dude for welterweight. 6 foot, you know, he's 29 pounds, so he's young enough to kill the weight, but he's fucking well put together. I'm surprised this wasn't the catch weight, but they say 170. Again, he went 4-1 outside the UFC. His only loss was to Impa Kasanani, who is fighting Friday night at 205. You know, he's the infamous guy that got fucking that kick over Joaquin Buckley. But good dude from Wilmington, North Carolina as well. I root for Wilmington guys. His UFC run was, you know, Alan Jouban, he probably should have won that. Alan Jouban a little long in the tooth at that point. Lost to Abubakar, who's replacing, beat Nicholas Stolze, and then on his last fight of his contract, looked okay against Randy Brown, just fell a little bit short. He's a tough, durable guy. He has been knocked out before. Impa got him. Bruno, let's don't talk about Bruno. Bruno Oliveira got him as well. So he has been cracked before, but other than that, he's usually a pretty sturdy guy. And Carlson Harris, this guy came in the UFC. 35, a little older than I would like him to be. 17-5, coming off the Shavkat-Romano fight. Losing to Shavkat, there ain't no problem with that, babe. All right, there ain't no shame in that. For that, he's got a win over Impa, who Gooden has a loss over, a finish over Impa round one. Are we doing MMA math? Is that what we're about to do? Some fucking MMA math? No, I'm not going to do it. Even though I was right on the Neil Magny fight, not going to do it here. But yeah, I mean, his, you know, he's 3-1 3-1 in the UFC. Outside the UFC again, he's coming from, I can't pronounce it. He's from Guyana. Is that how you pronounce that? But trains and fights out of Brazil. So again, these Brazilian guys' records are, you know, 0-1, 4-1, 4-1, 13-4. Michel Pereira, he got a win over, a good win. 11-7, he lost to Julio Cesar Andre. Listen, Carlton's good. He's not great. God damn it, my throat. Will I pay 305? Nah. I ain't willing to pay 305. I ain't going to do it, right? But I'd be willing to pay maybe him by a decision. I don't think he's getting Gooden out there. I think he's going to fight smart. I think he knows Gooden has big, big power. Coming up on short notice. I know he's been training. I know he's probably getting ready for something else locally. I'm glad he's back in the UFC. Hopefully this is a deal. Like, you show up, you perform well against this guy who's 3-1 in the UFC, had a little bit of hype. Rachmaninoff took it. We're going to keep you around. I hope he sticks around. Gooden needs to be in the UFC. I think he's a good fighter. But give me Harris. I hate the 305. I hate the lame pick. I mean, this is... Underdogs haven't been winning, right? And, well, let me rephrase that. Alexa Grasso won last week. Underdogs have been winning. I just haven't been picking the right underdogs. So my underdog picks are down this year. They're down. So I think that's in my head a little bit. I'm playing it a little fucking safe. You know what I mean? Because on the Anakin Florin, we pick, and you encourage to pick underdogs with the scoring system, I think. So I go underdogs quite a bit on that show to try to get ahead of the scoring system. And it falls in my face. And same thing with real life. I've been missing a lot of dogs. And I would like to take a shot on Gooden here if it was maybe a full camp, because Harris, again, got exposed a little bit over Shavkat. But Shavkat is so good. And we spent way too much time in that first fight. But Kimmy Carlton Harris, -305, might be a pass for me. Next up, Tyson Nam, +170 versus Bruno Silva, -200. Haven't seen Bruno Silva in a while. There's like 40 Bruno Silvias and like 30 of them. Fight in the UFC. We haven't seen him since 2021. He knocked out Victor Rodriguez. Before that, he butchered JP Bays. You remember that? And then he's 3-2 in the UFC. Well, he had the draw against Khalid, which he lost. He got dropped and submitted. Khalid popped for like weed or whatever. Dropped a loss to David Dobrik. Dropped a loss to Tagir Ulumbekov. Got Bays and Rodriguez. So his wins are insignificant. And I had Tyson Nam circled here. +170, 21-12. He's been all over the place. Big, big power. Bruno Silva's been knocked out before. He can't get cracked. Haven't seen him in a while. Tyson Nam coming off the knockout of Ode Osborne, right? And then I can't keep riding with the old dogs. He's 39. You know what I mean? It's hard for me to get excited at a +170 for a 39-year-old. Bruno Silva is going to want to slow this pace down and try to take him to the mat. Tyson Nam is tough to take to the mat, but he's also like... he's going to either knock you out or lose a decision. He's hard to finish. He's durable in there. We look at the Zalgiris fight. You know, he fell a little behind on that fight. You look at the Sergio Pettis fight. Sergio boxed him up. So did Kai Car Franz. Sticking a move. Bruno Silva's not nearly as good as those, and Tyson Nam has a better record. But I'm an ageist. I'm such an ageist. I took Derek Brunson, who was 39, right, last week, and I thought he was going to out-wrestle Justice Duplessis. No problem. No problem. And he did in the first round. It was, he didn't dominate, but he looked good in the grappling. And then he just gassed. And I can't put stock in another underdog at +170, even though that was my first instinct. I think my official pick is going to be Bruno Silva. I don't think you should bet him. He's quite high. I think he's average. I think he's okay. There's 30 other Bruno Silvas in MMA that are better. He is the 30th ranked Bruno Silva, but I like Tyson Nam by knockout at some point as well. I think he can catch Bruno. Bruno's quick. He's tough. Been caught before, though, and Tyson can crack, right? If Tyson is in the right mindset and wants to be aggressive, he can crack. Sometimes he leans back, gets picked apart, and that's a guy that doesn't want to win. If he comes out here and says, fuck it, right? I like Tyson Nam, but I'm going to pick Bruno Silva. But I think the only bet I'll play on this is maybe Tyson Nam by knockout or Bruno Silva by by decision. That could be nice too. I don't know. But again, I'm dog shy. I'm dog shy, you know? They used to call me. I would walk down the street and they'd be like, dog the bounty hunter, how many dogs we got this week? No, that's never happened. But it'd be fucking cool if it did, right? I mean, that's a pretty sweet nickname. All right, next up, Tony Gravely or Gravely. I never know how to pronounce that. Plus 115 versus Victor Henry. Minus 135. So Victor Henry, 1-1 in the UFC, dominates Hany Barcelos. Gets dominated by Rafael Thunthau. I had a gentleman, I tried to pull it up in my DMs on Twitter and I couldn't find it. A gentleman who follows me on Twitter, it was Instagram, not Twitter. Likes the show and everything. He's like, dude, and when Asuncao fought Victor Henry, he goes, Asuncao had a dog money that's stealing. And I was like, I don't know. Victor Henry's been around for a while. He looked good against Barcelos. And I picked Victor Henry, bet Victor Henry. And that guy who messaged me is a sharp, and I should have listened to him because Asuncao dominated him. Victor Henry looked like he was lost in there, right? He made his moans in Japan, had some really good fights over in Japan, but really looked good against Hany Barcelos, who's a grappling base. Asuncao was just too fast, too better everywhere than Victor Henry. Victor Henry arguably had a really bad fight. I'll give him that, but got dominated as a huge, was he like minus 300 or something like that? I know he was a significant favorite here. We're getting him at a little bit favorite, minus 135. Tony Gravely, good wrestler, athletic, good puncher. Doesn't have the best chin, fight IQ. You know, he had Nate Maness out there, broke Nate Maness' jaw, went out, got knocked out the next round. It's just a little mistakes here and there. He's been around forever, 23-8. Good grappling, good cardio. This is an interesting matchup of two vets. I think it's properly lined. I think if you would have got Gravely higher, you hammer it. I'm not going to quite hammer it, but I am going to take Gravely here. I like the dog money at plus 115. I think if he could grapple, avoid some of the funky stuff that Victor Henry does, I think he's going to be okay. Cardio is going to play a factor as well. Gravely does have good cardio, but if you wrestle for three rounds, you know what I mean? That tax your body a little bit. So give me Gravely dog shot here. First Hello? Dog of the night. Not a
okay,
dog
this
lock.
Is dog.
Okay, that's a dog. Not going to lock him up, but we will take Tony Gravely here for a decision win. Don't think he's going to finish Victor Henry. I mean, he could catch him. He's got power. I don't know. It all really depends. If Gravely fights his best fight, it's taking Henry down, busting his chops up, you know, making it uncomfortable on top, some elbows, you know, not downward, that's illegal. Ground and pound, you know, G&P, baby. And, you know, maybe push him against the cage, all that stuff. It's going to be a slower paced fight if Gravely's going to win. Is it Gravely or Gravely? Someone tell me, because I don't know. Give me Tony. J.J. Aldrich's minus 365 versus Adrian Lipsky, plus 300. So J.J. Aldrich's been in there with everybody. And she's tough. She's got good boxing. She's getting better. Cardio's always been good. She trains with Rose. She's out of Colorado. Then you got Adrian Lipsky, who is just a little cutie pie. But she's been finished. She's getting knocked out there. How old is she? So she's 29 years old. She's not that old, but knocked out by catch a body. Priscilla Cachoeira got her. You know what I mean? Montella De La Rosa finished her. Antonia Shevchenko finished her. Whew. Antonia Shevchenko stinks, boys. And she finished her. So J.J. Aldrich, who is a good boxer, but kind of has pillows attached to her wrist, doesn't have a lot of finishes on her record, coming off a loss over Aaron Blanchfield, but everyone's going to lose Aaron Blanchfield unless you're, you know, high, high level. And I think she's medium level to maybe high level. How old is J.J. Aldrich? Let me look that up. 30. Okay, so she's peaking. She's about to peak right now. The number's crazy high. I can't touch the number. I like Aldrich here. I think you're going to find a spot because Aldrich isn't a big finisher. She does have good stand-up, good boxing, good striking, takedown offenses. Kind of there. You know, a little worrisome on the ground. But either way, because she has been submitted for, J.J. Aldrich does have good boxing. Not the biggest power. So a plus money number by her by knockout is something, or at least by finish, is something I'd be listening to, or at least keeping an eye on. I'm not going to bust out the green hammer for it. But if we're getting a nice plus number and J.J. Aldrich went by knockout, because Lipsy, I think, is toast. I think is worst. She stinks. Give me Aldrich and probably by knockout. I know the safe play is Aldridge money line because she's huge. Aldridge by decision. But again, if we're getting a plus number by knockout. Hey, love it. Mario Bautista next. Barry Peters at minus 950. Highest on the card, right? Yep, highest on the card. He is fighting Guido Cannetti, plus 650. So Guido blew up. I think I had to send him home. He dominated Randy Costa. Randy Costa got exposed, right? Big time. And because we all knew Costa, good-looking kid, had a good first round, but could he improve his cardio? No. Guido took his best. And Guido's like 50. You know, I think he's 40. I want to say 44. 43 years old. Just turned 43 in December. Coming off two wins. Martino, get him out of here, right? And then Randy Costa, split decision loss over Martinez, which is a decent fight, right? But so did Dana Baccarat, Marlon Vera. He's fighting decent guys, right? 43 years old, coming off a two-fight win streak. Again, remember, I'm an ageist here, right? And then you got Mario Bautista, who I was high on. You know, this guy's 29 years old. I remember he debuted against Corey Sandhagen. We had Corey Sandhagen in all kinds of trouble and then got armbarred. Rebound well. The Miles Johns flying knee was dope. Trevin Jones, he was winning, got caught. Since then, Jay Pearin, decision win, solid win. Rear naked choke over Brian Kelleher, big win. Armbar of Benito Lopez, who I think is a decent grappler, not the most biggest prospect in the world. Had a good record, but, you know, two solid wins, and he's coming off finishes. So it got me thinking, plus, you know, minus 950, he's a slimeball candidate because I love the matchup. I can't get away from the 950. I'm sorry. It is what it is. But I can just think, whoa. Bringing out the green hammer. 2-0 on the green hammer bets, baby. You got to bring out props when you're betting props. Don't let anybody tell you different. The green hammer bet. I'm going to play it. Mario Bautista by submission, minus 110. The green hammer is a multi-unit play. I'm encouraging you, whether units are 10, 20, 50, I can do a multi-unit this play. If you have 10 bucks, put 30 on the submission. It's even money, basically, minus 110. You're paying a couple extra pennies. But hammer the shit out of this, right? Hammer it, minus 110. Inside the distance is probably a safer play because he could knock out Guido. Guido's been knocked out, but he's also been finished by submission a lot. I think Bautista could hurt him on the feet and take him down. Green hammer play, baby. Mario Bautista by submission. If you don't want to hammer that one particular finish, you could go double chance, knockout, submission. I think Bautista's coming for a fucking head here. Regardless, I think he's going to knock him out, take an arm, take a neck. We're getting something. So you could double chance it. The number's going to go down, but this is ending. And this is a green hammer, baby. Got to bring out the props, a better prop, babe. Got to bring out a prop, better prop. Don't let anybody tell you different. Ew, nice little drink there. So obviously, Mario Bautista is my play there, and I like him big. Next up, you got, how do you say this name? Cedricris? How do you say this guy's name? Cedricris? God damn, I should have listened to it. Dumas? Or is it Dumas? Is it Dumas? Cedricris Dumas against Josh Fremm. This was a tough fight for me to pick. I pride myself, right? Your boy prides himself on being a guy that can spot talent. Oh, this guy is this guy, this guy. I spotted Josh Fremm and said, this guy's good. Christian, God love him, love the guy. Doesn't watch a ton of tape, knows the sport, knows gambling. Saw footage of this guy, he goes, I don't know, man, right? I don't think so. You know, he got knocked out by RoboCop in the LFA, came into the UFC on short notice, blah, blah, blah. I don't know, man. I don't see it. And I go, no, you're wrong. Well, he has not shown it in the UFC. Exciting fights, but he has not shown what I thought he was. You know, he's plus 180 against Cedricris Dumas. I'm going to say Dumas, right? Okay. Minus 210 against Dumas. Coming out of the Contender Series, I watched every single one fight that I could find. I think I found 5 out of 7. Including the Contender Series. This guy's interesting. He fought like amateur a lot. He is from a pretty tough place in Florida. Was apparently a backyard fighter. Went to MMA. And is scrappy. Is good. Has a good choke. And has some decent stand-up, right? He's aggressive in there, right? He's got wins by a lot of different ways, but mostly by submission, right? He's got by KO. He's got 4 wins by KO, 2 wins by submission, 1 by decision. So he's a finisher in there. Liver kick KO against a guy 1-2. Cool. Lance Thompson, 5-8 KO. Mario Macellus, right hook KO. DeWitt Dixon, head kick KO. Those guys are all 1-0. Aaron Hibbo, decision win, only guy with like a decent record, 9-5, not decent. Eh. And then he goes on the contender series, chokes. Where's this guy from? I remember this guy. He was very arrogant when he, Czech Republic. The Czech Republic dude out it with a guillotine in the first round, right? Good size for division, 6'2", long, 79-inch reach. Has fought nobody's, but he's got that dog in him. You know, coming from backyard fighting, has a ton of amateur experience, 7-0. Josh Fremm has good chokes, but he's been choked out his last time out. Has good stand-up, but gets hit a lot. His chin's a little shaky. He's a big, tall guy for this division as well. Yeah, he's 6'4". So it's going to be interesting. Both are fighting tall, lanky guys. I wonder who else get the reach. So Josh Fremm has a smaller reach than Dumas. Dumas has a bigger reach. So this is tough for me because it's admitting I was wrong. And I think I was wrong. You know, hopefully Josh Fremm lets me eat my words. He looked good in the FA, looked good in the regional scene. But I'm going to go Dumas here. Regardless of him charging $100 for an interview, regardless of all that drama, I'm going to take him. I don't love it. I wish I loved it. And I got to think he could get it done with a finish. He's only got one decision win. He likes to go out there and finish. I'll be at low-level competition. I think it's a good matchup for both guys. I think this is UFC going, we don't know what to do with these 85ers. Fremm has fought the better competition, without a doubt. But Dumas might have the better upside. You know what I mean? He might be very good, just hasn't had the opportunity. You know what I mean? Regional scene in Florida is, I mean, there's a lot of great fighters that come out of Florida, but the regional scene is this. It's kind of basic because what happens is there's so many good fighters coming out of Florida that they don't want to fight other good fighters. They want to have a nice undefeated record to go into the UFC. So everyone kind of avoids everyone. And, you know, that's how it goes. Fremm, again, made his bones in the FA, out of Colorado, good fighter. I'm going to go Dumas. I'm not talking myself out of it. I've always went with Josh Fremm. He's lost me some money. Not going to do it. Give me Dumas because I can't pronounce his first name. All right, next up, Javier Sanfal. +115 versus Davey Grant, -135. So, if you've been with me for a while, I put a reputation bet on Davey Grant versus Jonathan Martinez, who's also on this card. I thought Davey Grant was not good. I thought Davey Grant came from the Ultimate Fighter. I'm like, how is this guy still in the UFC? Because he got injured. He wasn't fighting all that often. I'm like, this guy's still on the roster, and then he's winning, and then he's knocking people out, and then he's giving really good fights to a guy like Andrew Yanez, right? So I was completely wrong. I put my reputation, which is now tarnished, Jonathan Martinez, David Grant. I said Jonathan Martinez, lock of all locks, put all your money on him, blah, blah, blah. Jonathan Martinez got knocked out by David Grant. David Grant's got some awkward style to him. Good jiu-jitsu, takedown offense, a little bit of a problem. My son's out, 40 years old. Think he's going to want to take David Grant down. David Grant does have good jiu-jitsu. It's not on the level of a Sunsell, but I think a Sunsell is going to want to take him down. Problem is, I think Davey's going to be hard to hold down, and I think Davey is training for this particular opponent. Obviously, he's a smart fighter, and in those exchanges, those wild punches, those left hook he's got from a weird angle catches a lot of guys, and a Sunsell has been knocked out before, has been caught before. And again, being that old, I'm going to go with Davey Grant here at -135. I can't pick against him after putting my reputation against him, right? He looks like his name should be Chester. He looks like the most English fucking guy I've ever seen, right? Like, I bet he's drinking tea right now with one of those, like, ascots on, right? That's just what he looks like to me. But he's a dog when he fights, and I got to get that perception of him out of my head. And I'm going to go Davey here, maybe by finish. -135 is a good number. A sense I'll go. Again, though, cash underdog last time out. You know, he's coming maybe to cash underdog again. Maybe ride the hot hand. I'm just going opposite because I'm an idiot. All right, next up, Lucas Bresky, who is a, +195 versus Carl Williams. He is 7-1. He is a -230. Listen, this is who gives a shit kind of fight for me, right? Carl Williams, to me, hasn't looked great. There's nothing to him that I think's great. Bresky came in his UFC debut off the contender series and looked okay. Looked better than what people thought he should be. Both these guys, heavyweights, why are they this high up on the card, right? You know, hopefully this card's wrong. They shouldn't be this high up on the card, in my opinion. Listen, I haven't used this terminal forever. It's a bowl of spaghetti fight. Two average fucking heavyweights. People are going to probably anchor up Carl Williams. Bresky's not the most impressive guy in the world. Minus 230 is a good number, but I just don't see what maybe Vegas is seeing in him at minus 230. Maybe they just think Bresky's that bad. So I'm taking the dog here at Bresky. Might sprinkle a little bit just because it is a decent low number and is a heavyweight. And again, it's a bowl of spaghetti. Put a pitcher up on the wall, throw a bowl of spaghetti at it. Whoever's got more sauce in them, that's who you fucking pick. I mean, that's essentially what it is. You usually maintain that for women's fight, but this heavyweight fight stinks. I mean, it just does. Low-level stuff should be low-level on the card, but what are we going to do? Next up, Vitor Petrino. Petrino, yep, I think I got it. Minus 115 versus Anton Tokali. Minus 105, pick'em fight here. Antof Tokali, this fucking cocky bastard. This cocky son of a bitch. You remember him on the Contender Series? He walks in there. He's strutting his stuff. Like, he's like, I'll finish anybody. Everyone's afraid to fight me. Of course I'm going to win this fight. You know, he's from Sweden. Got the blonde hair. Pretty boy, right? Got some good wins. Got, all, I think, all was it all finishes outside there? Right. All finishes outside the UFC before he comes into the Contender Series. Over, you know, okay competition. I don't think Sweden is, you know, they got some good fighters, but don't, you know, it's not booming. It's not Dagestan. It's not Russia, right? And it's not even England. But goes against a Brazilian guy who probably shouldn't have been anywhere near the UFC, in my opinion. Decisions him, right? He was afraid to stand up with him. Decisions him. Goes in against Johnson Almeida and does good for about 3 minutes. Handles himself well on the ground, not giving anything up, and then he just gets choked out. I'm not going to hold that against him against Johnson Almeida. Johnson Almeida is a fucking stud. But Vitor Petrino, 6'2", 25 years old. All this dude does is just knock people out, right? Knock people out. Beautiful knockout in the Contender Series last year. KO over 28. Gazatov and Tukulov fought in the UFC. 0-0, 0-6. I mean, he's knocking guys out that, I mean, he knocked a guy that's 1-17. But he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, you know what I mean? The only problem I have with this guy, right, he's 6'2", he's well-built, good-looking dude, coming at Anton Tokali's fucking neck. The only issue is what's the cardio like, right? Anton's been in there with Johnson Almeida. He's not going to be afraid of this guy. What's the cardio looking like? What's the cardio situation? You're knocking everyone out, and I hate to be so stereotypical and be one of those assholes, but a lot of Brazilian fighters who come in with this hot kind of record with these fucking ripped up bods, typically they tend to fade. They just do. Hopefully Vitor is different. 7-0, very young, knocking everyone out. Big dude. Anton's a big dude. I think Anton likes to strike, but I think he doesn't like to get hit. I think he's afraid to get hit, just like his Contender Series fight. He turned into a wrestler. He's Mr. I finish everybody. I'm going to walk in all cocky. You know what I mean? Give me Vitor here. I think Vitor is just not going to be afraid. He's going to go right after him. I don't know much about his ground game, which obviously scares me because I think Anton can take him down. I don't think Anton is like world class on the ground. I think he's a big dude. Can probably take him down. First round, we're looking maybe knockout. First, second round, beginning of second round, we're looking knockout. If Vitor's slowing down and you got a lot of money, maybe start to look elsewhere. Start to hedge a little bit. Start to maybe pick spots with Anton because, you know, I don't know about the cardio. There's a history pattern with some of these type of fighters. Yeah, I'm going to go, oh my God, sight. Next up, Saeed Nurmagomedov, minus 250 versus Jonathan Martinez, plus 210. So just like the Davy Grant fight, can I really pick Jonathan Martinez anymore since he completely embarrassed me? No, it's 100% my fault. I doubted Davy Grant, old Chester Grant. Just an interesting fight. So I locked this up on the Yannick and Florian. I put 3 units on it. I picked Nurmagomedov, I picked Saeed, and I think I'm going to pick Saeed too. This is my
Mortal Lock demon.
Let's go. I love that voice. Listen, Saeed, I think, you know, he fought. Let me try to pronounce that name. The kid that just got cut from the UFC, trains with Terrence McKinney out of Seattle, shouldn't have got cut. Sadikup Kakramanov. Guillotine choked him after a really tough first round where he might have lost. Saeed's really coming to his own. His guillotine is absolutely fire. Jonathan Martinez is a guy that's kind of like, I'm going to kick you. If you don't go away, I might fade. His chin's a little bit of an issue. I don't know if his chin's going to be a problem here, but the pace and the grappling of Saeed is going to give me big problems here for Jonathan. Jonathan debuted against Andre Sukumatau and just got out grappled. That's forever ago. He sized up a little bit. He's added some size to his frame, which is good. And he's fought some really good competition. But has he fought great, you know, takedown artists? You know, his losses, Andre Sugama got decision, right? Two Chinese guys, I'm not even going to, two Chinese fighters, I'm not even going to try to pronounce their name. Decision win, and then a knee up the middle of a fight. He was losing. Andre Yule lost a split decision. Frankie Saenz, obviously a good grappler, but end of his rope, right? Round three knockout. Couldn't finish Thomas Almeida. Everyone does. Lost to David Grant. That was a horse show. Xavi Lachevelli, that was a guy coming from Georgia that Marab co-signed, and he looked very average in that fight with very average takedowns and okay cardio, but you know, it is what it is. David Grant has a 70% takedown defense, but again, he's not really fighting high-level guys. Last finish came over over Cub Swanson over leg kicks. You know, Cub is unfortunate at the end of his rope here. He does have really good kicks, Jonathan Martinez, but I just think the pace grappling is going to be a problem. He hasn't tangled with one of these bearded dudes yet. Hasn't tangled with them. So I'm loading up on side here. Minus 250, I think, is a good number. I think submission would be fun. That might be a little fun prop play because I prop play. And then decision, obviously, as well, because Saeed could just grind him out and take him down or whatever. But I do like maybe submission here. I'll see. I'll feel it out. I'll see on the day what we feel, boys. Next up, Ricardo Ramos. Kind of Ramos, excuse me. They don't roll the R's in Brazil. It's like an H sound. Ricardo Ramos. Minus 365 versus Austin Lingo, 9-1. He is, I don't know why I said his record. I haven't said anybody else's record. Plus 330.
Dead air.
Sorry about that. It's hot in here. I'm thirsty. All right. Austin Lingo is kind of your epitome of an average fighter. And he's got some knockouts. I said on the Anakin Forian, so I don't want to keep repeating myself, that I think Austin Lingo by first round knockout is a good play. I think that's a smart play. Because you're going to get a lot of bang for your buck. Ricardo Ramos, I love saying his name. He is well-rounded, good striker, good grappling. Problem is he can't really take it. He can't be the nail. Venice a lot by knockout. So I think if Lingo's going to win, it's by knockout. So I think you're going to get a great prop. You can go first-round knockout because that's when Ramos loses. You know, two of his four losses come from first-round finishes. So Lingo can catch him early. I just think Lingo's just basic. He's tough. He's durable. Takedowns aren't great. Stand up, I think, is good. It's obviously his boxing's okay, but he's more of a punching bag. Try to find his spots. I don't know. Ramos, I think, is just too good. Minus 365 is steep for a guy with chin problems, but I just do think he's that much better. So give me Ramos, minus 265. He gets the dub. All right, fight we rebooked minus at 215 pounds. 215 pounds. Nikita Krylov, minus 170 versus Ryan Spann, plus 145. I've already broken this fight down. I don't like repeating myself. I don't want to repeat it on your ears. You got enough long-winded people out there. I'm long-winded about my stories and all that shit. I pick Span. I'm rocking with Span. He's my send him home, baby. I think he's going to submit Nikita. I still feel that way. Span's got a guillotine. He's got a choke. He wants his fight. He's athletic. He was in shape. I'm glad he doesn't have to cut all that weight to 215. He's a big boy for 205. As long as the cardio holds up, Nikita Krylov just finds a way to get submitted. You can't knock him out. He's very durable on the feet. He might mix in some takedowns himself. We'll see how really far Span has gone with his upgrading his abilities, because very limited, very spotty, inconsistent. But man, if he's on, I think he's taking Nikita's neck. So I like submission here. That's my send him home, plus 145. It was that or Batista was my send him home. The Green Hammer is basically a send him home. I'm trying to pinpoint a prop for you with the Green Hammer bet. And with the send him home, I'm being a little bit more vague. Like, hey, I think Span is going to finish. And if you're opposite me, if you go, no, dude, Nikita's going to win, I think Nikita's going to finish. Because Ryan Span, when he gets tired, he can get, you know, curtains for him, right? You can close the show. And Nikita, again, vet, power, could finish. So I think this fight doesn't see the cards at all. That's another good bet right there. Doesn't see the judges. And I like Span by send him home, baby. Submission, just fucking, ew, guillotine. All right, co-main event, Alexander Volkov, 35-10. Again, why did I say his record? I haven't been saying anybody's record. Plus 130 versus Alexander Romanov, minus 150. Man, I've been sharing that clip of the breakdown of the Anakin Florian. Romanov, man. what happened his last time out? He looked great. He looked in great shape. And Tybura, I know, is a big, heavy dude to move around, and you got tired and it was a bad matchup, yada, yada, yada. But everything that you're supposed to be good at, slamming people, wrecking them from top, it wasn't there. His stand-up's not there. I know he's working on it. I know he spent time in Thailand. That takes a long time. He might have big power. He's a big dude. He might come in better shape as well. It looks like he's trimming all that up. But man, that last fight was such a goddamn train derailment. And that, you know, that's very topical because every goddamn train in Ohio is getting derailed right now, falling off the tracks. This fell off the track. And Volkov, very surprised he opened as a plus number here because I think he cruises. This is my Hello? Dog lock.
Okay, this is dog.
Okay, that's a dog. This is my dog lock. I think Alexander Volkov is going to win this fight. I'm not worried about the takedowns too much because Volkov is hard to take down now. And he's big. He's long. These really big guys are hard to take down. Alexander Romanov, I think, has very average wrestling. When his double legs are non-existent, his single leg, it's more Greco style, body to body. I'm going to toss you. Let me clinch you. Those guys that are fucking 6'10", 7 foot like Volkov, they are hard to take down. You know, Daniel Cormier always says, like, it's like taking out a table. You know, there's just so many angles and leverage they got. And not to mention Volkov is really sized up as well. He was the skinny guy from Bellator. Now he's sized up and he looks pretty fucking good. And he's thumping a little bit. He's knocking dudes out. That front kick to the body is dangerous. That's how he put out Walt Harris. I can't see him throwing those front kicks on Romanov, slowing Romanov down. Cardio has always been an issue with Romanov. If you look at the guys he fought leading up to his streak here in the UFC, right? He's 30 years old, which is fine for a heavyweight. But look who he debuted against. Rogue Martinez, round 2, arm triangle choke. Again, Rogue Martinez is a 5'4". He's getting short every time. 5'4 heavyweight that cuts weight, okay? Rogue, you're a tough dude, but it is what it is. Has a forearm choke over Marcus Rodrigo de Lima, right? Looked terrible until he got it down. And he's heavy on top, and de Lima is kind of a fish out of water on his back. That's a good win. De Lima's not terrible. Not a world beater. Big, big power, but not terrible, right? So we got a good win over there. Then Juan Espinzino, which he lost, which he was losing, very close fight, right? And then he got hit in the nuts and basically was like, oh, what if I can't continue? And they're like, well, we'll go to the judges. And he's like, well, I think I won, so yeah, I can't continue. I think he kind of bitched his way out of that. I think that was kind of a bitch move, right? Then he ground and pounds Jarrett Vandera. Who fucking cares? Then he Americana's Chase Sherman in round 1 where he's minus 2 million favorite, right? And then he loses Marcin Tybura. So he's not really fought anybody. And it's going to take too long for me to go to Volkov's list. Volkov's has fucking fought everybody. Give me Volkov. Dog money, plus 130. I'm confident in it. Again, I have not done well with dogs. And everybody that listens and watches the show, I want to make money. That's what I want to do. I don't want to be the best capper in the world. I don't want to share my bet MMA tips and go, I'm up plus 47 units and blah, blah. I don't want to be that guy. I don't care, right? I want to make you guys money, make myself money, right? So I don't care if I'm right or wrong or whatever. So I've been ice cold on dogs. So either you're with me and go, BP's due for a hit, or you go, the guy's lost it. He can't pick a dog to save his life. Rock Romanov, excuse me. You know what I mean? Either way, you're going to win. And either way, I love you. All right, main event. Petr Yan, minus 260 versus Merab. Dallas Willie, plus 220. Whew, need a drink for this one. Need a drink.
Dead air.
All right. So, obviously, I already picked this. Don't want to keep sounding like a bro record. Go check out Anakin Florian pod on the DraftKings YouTube channel. By the way, you know what I mean? I'm not officially sponsored by DraftKings, not like officially, but their YouTube channel is a disaster. The biggest show is Anakin Florian. There are other shows I've watched. They're okay. There's some decent talent, little kind of chaotic. There's some talent on there, not a lot of views. Anakin Florian is crushing over there. I know everyone's like, you guys sold out, you went to DraftKings, you did this, whatever. But, and I know weeding through the DraftKings channel because, you know, the Anakin Florian was only the Anakin Florian. I get it. I get all the complaints. But Anakin Florian, I think, I don't know how much they got paid to get over there, right? It's a contract deal. Obviously, I'm not involved in any of that. But I think they might have got underpaid because they're taking over. I keep saying I am part of the show. But obviously people come from John, Kenny, and Ray and whatever. But, you know, I'm part of the show. Fuck it. You know, people come from me. Sure, why not, right? That's just a little wink there. We're taking over that channel. I mean, for real. Like, go to DraftKings and, like, oh, God damn it. Why is my wife calling me? She knows I'm on a podcast. It's probably one of my kids, 100%. And it went right through the headphones, so I apologize for that there, boys. That shouldn't have happened. I thought I muted that. Anyway, go over to DraftKings, subscribe, hit the bell, notification, whatever the fuck you want to do. But yeah, Anakin Florian, you know, unbiased opinion. We're fucking taking over that channel. You know what I mean? Add another show. Give Ray Longo a show. Bring this show over there, huh? Let's do it. You know, right? I'm cheaper than Anakin Florian, babe. All right, Petr Yan versus Merab. I pick this fight. Pick Petr Yan. And I'm more confident than ever. I really am. After watching Merab versus Jose Aldo, he didn't land any takedowns. Was he 0 for 15 or something like that? Maybe he got one. I can't remember. But it was more, I'm going to pin you against the cage. I'm going to get you tired. And Jose Aldo kind of just resisted. Jose Aldo, to me, I felt was a little checked out as well. Kind of at the end of the rope. Wanted to go boxes. Went in a box for a while. Let me make sure my camera's still working. There we go. Went to box for a while. And he felt checked out, right? You know, Hall of Fame career, great guy, but you know, whatever. Petr Yan is the most motivated he's ever fucking been. So he's coming off the Aljo fight, right? Which I said on Anakin Florian, I don't see a guy losing three times in a row. Technically, he's already lost three in a row because he lost to Aljo with a DQ. Then he lost to Aljo for real by decision. People disagreed with. And then Sean O'Malley, more people disagreed with, right? I get it. I think Sean won. I think Aljo won. But Petr Yan's coming in angry, right? Petr Yan's coming in wanting to kill. Merab approached him and said, let's talk now because we're not getting a press conference. And Petr said, I don't want anything to do with that. A little bit of bad blood brewing. Merab trains with Aljo, so he's getting insight. But also, Petr Yan has felt Aljo. And Aljo is a bigger, better version of Merab. Merab is a little bit smaller and keeps up a pace. Stand up is kind of basic. Aljo's stand up's funky. He's the funk master. Kicks come from weird angles. His striking's weird. He's off center a lot. And when he gets you down, he holds you down. He takes your back. You ain't getting him off you. Merab takes you down, you're getting back up, right? And Merab's takedowns aren't as good as Aljo's. I think there's more of them. He's more relentless. But I think Aljo's technique is better, and also being the fact that he is quite big for 135. Merab, perfect weight. Could probably even make 125 if he really killed himself. Don't want to see him do that. Petr Yan looks bigger than him. Petr Yan's cardio is unmatched, right? At five rounds. Merab obviously has great cardio. We've never seen him go five rounds. There's no doubt in my mind he can go five rounds. So that's what kind of style fight we're going to get here. We're going to get Merab fighting a lot like Jose Aldo. He's not going to get Petr down as many times as he thinks. He's going to be leg hungry. I think Petr has already trained that, already been there, and knows. He's going to get nasty in those clinches. He's hard to get down. He's even harder to hold down. And this isn't Aljo, right? I know Merab is a huge number at plus 220. Trin Wolf, my guy, who I've talked about last two podcasts, great dude from Ohio, just doing the DraftKings betting pool, or what is it called? Betting group, MMA Takes Betting Group. Again, I'll share the link if you want to come join. And I've seen that he has bet Merab twice now because the line has moved. So he's all in on Merab, which I love. Again, I'm not picking dogs right, so maybe that's the right side. But I just really feel Petr Yan is just going to be too much. I think it's going to be kind of slow starting. Petr always finds his groove. It's five rounds, which is obviously the best thing for Petr Yan. He is a five-round fighter. And I think he's slowly going to chip away at Merab. I don't think he can get a finish because Merab is nasty and tough and durable. But I just think Petr's maybe going to open up a cut because in close there, those elbows, when he goes for a leg, dropping elbows down, I just elbowed my desk. I almost broke it in half. Did you guys see that? Fucking Jack, dude. Petr Yan's a play. And I love you, Ray Longo. I love Strong Island. I my mother's from Long Island. She's basically a female Ray Longo. And goddamn it, it hurts me to pick against one of his guys. It does. And I hope Merab shoves up my ass and wins here. But I just think Petr has his number. All right. So we got Mortal Lock. We got Saeed Nurmagomedov. Send him home, Ryan Spann. Dog Lock. Alexander Volkov, Green Hammer, 2-0 on the year. Mario Bautista, by submission, minus 110. Remember, hammer the fuck out of him. That's a multi-unit play. Slimeball parlay. Not as juicy as I like, but we got one. Mortal Lock, Saeed Nurmagomedov. Mario Bautista, who's a giant number. And then Petrion, plus 117. So we're in the plus. No extra slime. We're going to hit this week. And that's all she wrote, babe, right? And then again, if we go 2 out of 3 and we're heading to the main event, you got Marab at plus 220. That's a great hedge out bet. There was a guy that yelled at me on Twitter and says, quit saying hedge so much. You don't know what hedge means or whatever the fuck. I do. And that's why I set the parlay up the way I do. So you can hedge out, my guy. Okay? Okay. That's it. That's the show. Thank you for being patient. I don't know when you're going to be seeing this. You're going to be hearing this. Literally, the minute I'm done, I'm uploading it. Audio will be in your ears on Thursday by 8:30. It's 8:05 right now. I guarantee it on Thursday. One last thing, not to get emotional, but I'm going to get emotional. My mother got her scan today. She rang the bells 2 weeks ago, but we don't know anything till the scan, blood work, all that. She had that today. The tumor in her lungs appears to be dead. There's no cancer cells. It's exactly the way they want it to look. So great news. Right? So we can't use the word remission yet. She's meeting her oncologist. We met the pulmonary doctor today. She's meeting her oncologist Thursday. He's going to be the guy to decide, you know, all that stuff. But incredible news. She's the toughest, bravest woman I've ever met my entire life. I am blessed and honored and unworthy of her being my mother for how strong and tough she is. And yeah, she's just absolutely incredible. I couldn't be happy for us to get our life back. We're planning a vacation this summer to go see my grandmother in Wilmington. And that was obviously on hold till we got good news. We got the fucking good news. And thank you. And everyone that said kind words, you're the fucking best. That's why I do this show, because of you. I love you. Thank you. Let's win some money. MMATakesPodcast.com to get one of these fire shirts. I've been selling some good shirts. Thank you for everyone that bought that. Keep buying. I'll keep uploading. That's it.
Let's make some picks with our man Brian Hager. Good. Motherfuckers. Perfect week for Brian Hager yet again. Motherfuckers. Good. Let's make some picks with our man Brian Hager.